All right. Well, it's good to see you guys here this evening. Welcome to PAW, or Pray Around the World. My name is Johnny. I'm the youth leader here at Calvary Chapel St. George, and I have the blessing of being, I guess, the MC of these nights. And so if this is your first time, PAW, Pray Around the World, is every first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. And what we do is we have multiple missionaries sent out across the world in Asia and North Africa, Europe, and Mexico. And what we do is we hear from the missionaries that we're supporting and that we have sent out. And so oftentimes we like to have them here in person. And then for tonight, we actually have sort of a special couple, I guess, that we're covering, where we often cover the missionaries that are either sent out actively, but now we have some that have been missionaries we've been supporting for a long time. You guys know them very well, Caesar and Melody, and we'll be highlighting them tonight, and they their transition back here, back to the States. And so what I kind of wanted to just brief before we get into it, before we get into the night, is sort of just how it works. So again, I come up here, I just introduce the missionaries, but then at 7:50, if there's time, we'll do questions. And so as they're speaking, I want to encourage you guys to get some questions in your mind, something that you want to ask them or that you think it would be beneficial or encouraging for the body to maybe have the answer to. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll break off into these prayer groups. And I would encourage you guys, you know, we are here to support our missionaries, to hear what the Lord is doing and has done in their life. But we're also here to pray for the other missionaries that are sent out. And they feel our prayers. They need our prayers. They're asking for our prayers. And so when 8 o'clock hits, I would encourage you, don't just rush out the building. Stay for the last 30 minutes and we'll go into these different prayer circles and we'll pray for the different countries and missionaries that we have across the world. So that's my encouragement for you guys. And just one thing before I invite them up, you guys know this pretty well if you've been to church, and especially if you've been here to Calvary Chapel St. George, we're super missions minded. And the reason for that is because Jesus gave us the Great Commission to all of our disciples. And if you guys are sitting here, I'm assuming you probably call yourself a disciple or a follower of Christ. And so after Jesus rose from the dead, he went to his disciples, and this is Matthew 28:18-20. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That threw me through a loop. I was expecting New King James, and I had NLT pulled up on my phone. But same thing. I was just about to like recite it. But what we see here is that Jesus is giving us the commission. He's giving us not the great suggestion, but the great commission, the great commandment of what should we do? You follow Christ, now what? You call him your Lord and Savior, now what? And he says, go and make disciples. And oftentimes I think that just sort of resonates in our mind as converts, right? Going on just telling people about Jesus and then just leaving, right? Like you go up to the subway worker, you're like, you know Jesus? He's like, yeah. You're like, okay, good. All right, see ya, right? But what he's calling us to is something deeper. And disciples, what that really entails is relationship. Jesus didn't spend 30 minutes with his disciples. He spent how long? 3 years with these dudes who were not getting it for 3 years and barely even got it after he died and rose again. And so for us as well, my encouragement is sort of as you're hearing how the Lord worked through Caesar and Melody throughout the years, just think about your own life. Reflect. How has the Lord led you to make disciples? How have you answered this great commission? Have you answered it at all? Have you actually taken the steps in your life to make disciples? Whether you're 13 years old or you're 85 years old, this question still pertains to you as you call yourself a disciple, a follower of Christ, because we're supposed to be making disciples that make disciples. And if you're a part of this, a part of the body, then you've been given this commission as well. And he starts it out by saying, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. So if you've got Christ, he's given you his Holy Spirit. He's given you the helper. He's given you the empowerer, the one who will lead you into all truth and righteousness. And he's given you that spirit, hopefully not in vain. What are you doing with the power that he's given you? Are you sort of keeping it and becoming spiritually well-fed on your own time? And you and the Lord have got a really close relationship, and you've got all this peace, and you've got maybe just all this comfort knowing that you and the Lord are good. Man, if you do have that, praise the Lord. But what are you doing with it? Are you actually going out and making disciples? Are you sharing the same love, grace, and mercy that God's given you? Are you sharing that with the people around you? And are you making disciples? And this is for me as well. I'm the youth leader, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm making disciples with all the youth kids are my disciples. But how often am I actually spending time with them, pouring into them, asking them hard questions, being accountability partners for my friends, right? And living life with them, which is what oftentimes what discipleship making looks like. And so we're called to love people. Love is sacrifice. And my question to you as you're listening to this is just think about how they answered the call of making disciples and how the Lord's used them. And then for you as well, where would the Lord be leading you on how to command or follow the great commandment, follow the great commission to make disciples of Jesus? So it's my encouragement for you guys as you guys hear this. I'm going to invite them up. But before I do, I'm just going to pray over the night, pray over them, and then we'll have them come up. So if you would pray with me. Father, I want to thank you so much for the breath in our lungs. God, we thank you for bringing us here. All of us are here for a reason, and I thank you for the faithful saints that are here to lift up the needs of the missionaries. And God, you hear our prayers, Lord, where two or more are gathered in your name, that you're there with them. So we thank you for your presence in this place. We pray that you would hear our prayers, you would answer them, and that they would be felt across the world in real time, Lord. So we thank you for Caesar and Melody. We thank you for all that you've done with them in the past and all that you're bringing them to and currently doing in their lives. We thank you for the blessing they are to us. And I pray that you would speak through them tonight, Lord. You would get all distractions and nervousness out of the way, Lord, that God, it would be your words going out, and we would be encouraged and convicted and then sent out and equipped, Lord, so that we can be better disciple makers on this earth, Lord. So we thank you for saving us, and we just pray that tonight would glorify you and honor your name. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Caesar and Melody, are you guys ready? All right, come on up. If you guys would, please welcome them. And again, think about questions, and I'll hand around a mic if there's time at the end. Two mics or just
one? Hey, we just need a code to connect the iPad. Other than that, I'm Caesar.
I'm Melody.
Enter. Thank you. There we go. That's us. All right. And we used to serve in Mexico. We're up here now, but now we're serving here. As we go through our presentation tonight, I'll encourage you to take notes. We're going to give you some names and who they are for you to continue to pray for them. Not because we're here, that means they stop working down there. So I'll encourage you to that. But first of all, we were serving in Tijuana, Mexico. But where is Tijuana? Some people don't know. It's border with San Diego. So they're like, how's the weather there? How's this there? And it's just like San Diego.
Perfect.
Unlike some other places where you get to 100 degrees, just because. Anyway, and what is the training center? Where were we? That's what we were doing. That's the ministry that we were a part of. And again, this is as you come from San Diego into Mexico, that's the first thing you see. And the other way around, right when you get into San Diego, you see an American flag. But if you've been there, you recognize this building. And pretty much the training center, the last name was the Awaken Discipleship and Training Center. Pretty much we will host teams. That was our main ministry. We'll host teams when the mission groups from St. George will go down there. They will stay there. And if you've been there, you recognize these pictures. But yeah, and we did some more other ministries that we'll share later. But this is where we will spend our everyday serving and doing ministry.
Okay, so just a refresher on what we actually did there. So one of my main things is I took care of the accounting department, which is basically just making sure. So so how did we get there? So when I was in high school, I went to the first Just Go Missions Conference that Calvary St. George put on. And through that, the Lord just really touched my heart for missions. And so through that, I was able to go on a mission trip when I was 17. And I went with Mark Pearson and a few others from this church. And after that, you know, the Lord just really just grabbed me, and I was all for it, and I was all in it. And after that, the training center, that's where we stayed during our trip, and they had an internship available for young adults just coming out of high school. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord said yes, and I applied, and I, they accepted me. And so I was there for 10 months, and at the end, they invited me back to be on staff. To be on full-time staff. And of course, my heart was like, yes, I'm going to stay here. I'll be back in 2 months. But I came back and I talked with Pastor Rick and Pastor Steve, and they were like, okay, we'll prepare you, but you're not going in 2 months. That's not enough time. You need to get to know and to serve in this church. And so a full year, I was an intern here. And honestly, the Lord really blessed that time to be able to prepare sort efficiently and just have a time of growth. And then after that, I was staff at the training center, and I was there for 7 years.
And for me, if you heard this joke before, please still laugh. If you can't tell because of my beautiful accent, I am Mexican. Like from Mexico, but I'm from Tijuana. I didn't have the privilege to be born in Tijuana. I was born more in still northern Mexico, but more towards the east. But I'm always pretty much been around the base and been around ministry. My dad got saved when I was around 7 years old, so I pretty much grew up in Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel is very present in the city of Tijuana. But pretty much went through a lot of hardships during the ministry life. But one morning, the prior director of the training center invited me to go and assist with their church planting school, and then I eventually took the church planting course in summer 2017, and I showed up and pretty much never left. After 1 week before graduation, they hired me to assist, and eventually the Lord started using or developing talents and gifts that I had no idea I had. One of them was speaking English and translating, so that's pretty much how I end up there. I grew up around the base. I will go with my dad for men's conference, and eventually I'll go for youth conferences, but I never thought I was going to end up serving there, but that's kind of how I got there. Oh, me. How did we meet? Or met? Whatever. She went down to a missions trip, and I was there. And then she saw and she liked it and she moved down there. No, I'm just kidding. No, we didn't met here, but that's me on the what do you call that? On that flannel, on the black one, looking down, and that's her up there with the purple shirt. And so we saw each other. We never really met until another mission trip that our churches went together to San Vicente. But same thing, we were just around each other. We never really talked or anything. But she went to a Christmas trip that, if you have not been, I highly recommend it. It's such a beautiful trip. But she was the only youth there, and I kind of like that, and it was like, hey, how are you doing? Like, what? So cool that you, instead of spending the Christmas break at home, you came down, and we were just friends. Eventually, the Lord developed that friendship into something more. And 3 months after we started talking, I was like, hey, I think you're going to be my wife. And she said, me too, but let's not date. Let's wait. And we waited for 2 years, just waiting on the Lord for him to make this work. Of course, I had my plan. She had her plan. But the Lord has his plan, and that's exactly what happened. 2 years later, we ended up and working in the same missions base, my office next to hers. And I was just like, hey, you want to do this? Because we knew that we were called to marriage. But I, like, seriously, I was like, do you actually want to do this? I felt called to her. She felt called to me. And I was like, we're still not dating. We're still friends. And even to the day that I asked for her hand, my father-in-law said, pray, ask the Lord. If he says yes, who am I to say no? And if he says no, who am I to say yes? So we prayed. And the day before, I just told her, hey, do you want to marry me? And if not, I would love to still be your friend because you're such an amazing person. And the Lord said yes. And I told my father-in-law, the Lord said yes. He said, how convenient? No, I'm just kidding. No. He said, okay, I'll see you in the wedding. And we got married. And yeah, he said yes and hang up. We got married and we've been serving. And we got married at the training center. And we've been serving there for a whole marriage until the Lord called us here. But what did we do there?
Okay, so now we're at the part. Okay, so like I said, I did accounting. But other than that, I also helped with planning mission trips for different teams that would come. So I was basically just kind of a person there. I would talk to people on the phone, plan things out. I would plan them out with Caesar and then when they would get to the training center, we would go out with them, do all of their activities with them. And then also when they left, we would make sure that all of them were doing good if they needed anything. And we also helped bridge that communication. That way it's not just like, oh, what's up? Okay, now we're leaving. It was more like we wanted to help build relationships and friendships between the churches that we're visiting and the church and the local churches that were in Tijuana. And we also just did whatever needed to be done. If that meant cleaning, if that meant cooking, we would do that. I wasn't that such good of a cook, but I was okay with eggs and oatmeal. But yeah, that's kind of an overview of what I did.
And she did a lot more than that, just saying. Pretty much anything that they will ask us to do, she was just always available. But same, what we will do is that she will, well, first we were under Pastor Dan, and he will organize stuff in the state side, and then we'll take over in the Mexico side. But eventually he moved to a different ministry, and then we had to take over. And the dynamic that we ended up working was that she will take care of all the logistics in the American side. And what's the size of the team? What's the budget? How many dates? And okay, let's plan these meals. Let's plan to eat here. Let's plan to eat there. Let's plan to eat over here. Bonfire. Okay, we need to buy this, and that. And then they were like, okay, they want to work with elderly and with kids. So she'll tell me, and then I'll contact the local orphanages and convalescent homes and just organize with them and what are their needs and what do you want us to do? Okay, you want us to clean, okay? And then we'll go out and start shopping and doing this, all of their needs. So that was the team side. I was also a translator. Translating for classes, translating for the church planting school for teams. But I also got to be the guy to talk to the kids when they were misbehaving. So they loved it. They're like, you're going to go talk to Caesar? And they're like, no. But yeah, and Yeah, translating teachings as well with the team. Sometimes they will do like a takeover for a church, and that's what I would do. And my favorite part was doing kids ministry worship with the kids and the outreaches. So that's kind of what we did. Is there anything else? Yeah. Their Wi-Fi wasn't working, so we'll go do that. And we had a problem with electricity bill, so we'll go to the office and do that. They needed. Oh, yeah, and I was doing the media, taking photos and making videos and making graphic designs to kind of advertise what we were doing for the local community, and also supporting local churches if there was a need for it as well. But honestly, we were just there to do whatever they needed. They needed somebody to make breakfast, we were there. They needed cleaning, we were there. So, yeah, and we really loved doing that. Of course, while we were there, we were going to a church. We were going to Calvary Chapel Playas, and there we had the privilege to serve, and I was again serving. It's a bilingual church. That's really common with Calvary Chapel there, to have fully bilingual churches, literally a pastor and a translator in front. Same thing with worship, kids ministry, everything. So I was I had the blessing to be a translator there for the teaching and melody.
I took a leap of faith, and I helped with the children's ministry. And cool thing is children's ministry doesn't have a translator because all the kids speak Spanish. And so the Lord really stretched me and used me during this time. But honestly, like, the Lord would just open my mind during children's ministry to where I'm able to communicate and I'm able to share what the Lord's word says that day. And so that was a pretty nice chapter of my life. And so this is a group of some of the kids. They were so smart. The way that they would have it is that they would have little booklets, and every week they would go through and fill out their assignments. And I didn't even have to tell them. They just whipped those things out and just was like, okay, tell me the scripture. And they were waiting on me to give them the answer. So I don't know, that was a really cool blessing that I was able to do at our church there. So this question, how did we see the Lord work? So one of the experiences I want to share, I think I've shared this in the past, but as Caesar said, we planned mission trips for teams, specifically like American teams. And so there was a certain summer, I think it was this past summer, right? Yeah, so this past summer, we were super busy. We had the church planning school going on. We had different pickups and drop-offs of pastors at the airport. I was guiding a family team for their family mission trip for that week. And I got a call from a church from Calvary Downey, if any of you know where that is. And they told me that they had a mission trip planned to Merida, Mexico. But during that time, there was a hurricane. So everything got canceled, their flights, their rental vans, just everything. And so they were seeking the Lord of like, okay, what do we do now? And somebody suggested, oh, why don't we just go down to Tijuana? And so he called me, and at first my heart was like, you're not coming. We're too busy. They had a team of about 30 young adults.
We're on our way to Neil Perillo's house.
Yeah, and we were on the way to, in a big white van, to Neil Perillo's house to pick up books. And we were on the way to the air. Like, it was just a whole thing. Highway. On the highway in San Diego. So it was just this whole thing. I'm on the phone. And I was like, I was like having a conflict in my heart, you know? We all have those. And then Caesar's next to me, and he's like, oh, that's so exciting. Like, let's say yes, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shut up. Like,
you don't have to do all that stuff.
You know, we don't. And then the Lord convicted me and was like, honestly, like, it's no coincidence, like, just everything lined up, you know? And so I asked the director, and I was like, okay, if he says yes, then it's a yes, because he's way more detail-oriented than I was. And I asked him, and he said, yeah, we can do it. And I was like, oh, again, just another. And, okay, so I told Downey, I was like, okay, yes, we can do it. And they're like, okay, we can be there tomorrow. And I was like, can you come in 2 days instead of tomorrow? And they're like, yes, of course. And so it was a whole thing. I'm a type of person that's like very like things need to be like planned out, groceries bought, like all of this stuff. But I realized during this whole time that I was trusting in myself. I wasn't trusting in the Lord. And so as I sat with the staff and I laid out everything, Caesar and I laid out a whole plan for the whole week that they were going to be there. And usually it would take us like 2 weeks to plan,
to get
yes from ministries, because it was last minute, so I wasn't sure like how much we were able to do. But every place we called, they were like, yes, we're free. Yes, we're free, which was random, not common, because it was literally like 2 or 3 days away. And so the Lord took care of all of that, and they came down, and just everything was taken care of, like, not even just with my strength or whatever, but like the Lord really used all of the staff at the training center to just do their thing. That's why they're there. God has equipped them to help in all of that. And also, after all of that, things that we saw during this trip were insane. An example is we went to a children's home. Well, it's a children's home, but it's mostly consisted of teenagers. So really cool ministry. This guy kind of prefers teenagers because usually they're left out of other children's home because it's like, oh, we get more money if we have little kids, or like they're cute, blah, blah, blah. But this one, this guy and his wife, they were really dedicated to helping teenagers and helping them prepare for their life. And so the team was there, and a lot of them have super powerful testimonies. And so they just decided, the Lord decided, just to have a spontaneous testimony night. And then it turned into like 3 kids gave their life to the Lord. And then like 10 kids got baptized, 15 kids got baptized. And so as I look back now, I'm just like, first, there was a hurricane in Merida, so 15 kids could get baptized for 3 kids to accept the Lord. This situation that we went through, like, it doesn't even matter, because the end result, the Lord knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And he also taught me that I needed to trust in him. And so that's kind of a big takeaway that I've had from the past couple of years.
And the children's home name is Kids with Faith, and the director's name is Gabriel. So if you can give them a prayer. Again, we call them orphanages, but really we ended up calling them children's homes. They take care of either, orphans, but also kids that have been taken by the state, mm-hmm. and given to these homes. So they come from really, really troubled backgrounds, and they have lived things that no kids should have to go through. So we were just 3 kids wanted to get baptized, the ones that had accepted the Lord. And we're using worship, and then the pastors will just say, hey, is there one more? And one will raise their hand. And then we'll baptize them and sing a little bit more worship. And then is there one more? And is there one more? And we'll use hands hands keep being raised. And he will just look at me and he was just like, this is the Holy Spirit moving. So yeah, it was super, super cool. For me, what I wrote down, one was Hope Ministries. This is a medical brigade. And it's out of Awaken Las Vegas. They are working with multiple people from around the world, all over the world. I think their last brigade was in Brazil. But To me, used to be a part of it as a translator for Pastor Kenny, a pastor in Awaken Las Vegas, but also a doctor. Seeing it and looking at my past, I will never think that I was going to be translating for a doctor in a medical brigade. Like, when I was in the middle of it, and they give me this list for medical terminology, and I'm just like, how am I going to learn all of these in such a short time? But when we were in the middle of it, people just kept coming, and the Lord just kept giving me the knowledge to translate. But I was also just, Lord, thank you. There's better people out there. I don't deserve for you to use me. I don't deserve for you to save me. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that. But it was just like, seeing how great the Lord is in my life, and where would it be without Him? But praise the Lord, I'm here because of Him. But it was just a big wake up call in my walk with the Lord, being just there. Like, I don't know, I don't have words for it. But that was one God moment that it was just wow. And the other one was during the Ukrainian relief, helping the Ukrainians. Refugees go from Tijuana to get access into the States, and just helping them to accommodate them and to just serve them. We ended up a company donated a bus for them to be transported to the border, and the training center staff was driving a van with all of their luggage, and then handing it to them. But also during our breaks, we'll just minister to them, and a group from St. George came down and helped. The van that we were using to do this transportation was a Calvary Chapel St. George van that was loaned and I think also even donated, I think, too. So thank you guys. But during this time was when the second time that the Lord showed us that it was time for us to start working in my residency. At first, it was during the pandemic, and we were like, the Lord is not calling us to move to America. We're missionaries. We're in the mission field. Like, what do you mean, God? And we kind of, like, ignored the Lord's voice. But during the Ukrainian relief, we were seeing families that the dad or the mom was from a different country that was not Ukraine, and they couldn't access because the refugee visas were on hold. They were paused because of the pandemic. And we saw that, oh, wow, like, this is important. We just had a pandemic, and now there is a war. So we prayed, and we asked for counseling, and make sure it wasn't our emotions, make sure it wasn't us misunderstanding. And that's when during the time that we applied, and we just waited, and we waited content, and we waited happy. If it was going to take 5 years, 10 years, we were more than happy. We just felt like this is what the Lord is asking us to do, so let's just go for it. But we weren't too excited about the move. But as the time passed, I mean, the Lord started giving us a heart to be okay with the move, to be okay with leaving the people, and not really leaving the people, but more like with the transition that was happening. Yeah. Of course, it was painful, and it still hurts to see the people, to see our friends, to see the life from Calvary Playas, but it ended up being that, or the training center was shut down, the ministries moved. And I went, I think, 6 to 8 weeks after my residency got approved, and we moved up here. We had no idea that this was going to happen. We had no idea that our base was going to be closed, but the Lord knew. And He used, in His perfect timing, He just moved us to do this. And we looked at it, and I was like, God, thank you. We see God's hand through all of these decisions that we thought we were making, but He was just guiding us and pushing us and kind of, you know, just taking care of us. But as I was saying, we made a lot of friends, and I don't think we can look back into our missionary walk without talking about Pastor Dan. He was our mentor in missions. And last year, the Lord took him home, and we got to be with his family, and really just, I'm sorry. I don't know. I think he's one of the persons I'm gonna miss the most. You know, we shared an office for I don't know how many years, and I don't know. I feel like I'm sorry.
Many of you have probably met Pastor Dan if you ever went down on a mission trip. He was literally like, look at him, look at his smile. He always joked around, and he was like the master at dad jokes, and he was like, and he was such like we talk about doing teams and everything. He's the guy that taught us how to do teams. He's the one that has all the connections to Downey, Santa Fe Springs, La Habra, all of those places. And so the Lord really used him at the training center. And then later on, he served at Calvary Rosarito, where he was one of the pastors for church planting. And so the Lord just really used this man and his family. And we just thought we would share him with you guys.
But he was there with his family, his four daughters and his wife, Cecilia. I mean, yeah, Cecilia, Rachel, Rebecca, Emily, and Elizabeth. And once he passed, you would think, well, the five girls are not going to stay in Tijuana. Used to serve by themselves, or Rosarito used to serve by themselves. And Cecilia said, no, we're staying. The Lord called us here. He didn't just call Dan and we're just going to follow him. No, the Lord called us as a family. So they're still there. They're crazy.
We should have
seen a photo. Yeah, but so keep them in prayer, the Valdez family. They continue to serve in Calvary Chapel Rosarito. That Calvary Chapel Rosarito is a setting hub. They have planted, I think, over 40 churches at this point, all over Mexico, South America, and in the States. So keep them in prayer. Keep them in prayer. The Valdez work, or God's work through the Valdez family, continue. And they're still there, and I don't think they're going anywhere. There is, you want to share? Well, these, something that we prayed a lot while we were down there was for friends. And the Lord brought Pastor Leo and Jareth to our path, and they joined the staff and became one of our best friends. They're still there. His joke was, I work here at the training center full time, and on my free time, I pastor a church. So he will just make me feel embarrassed of myself, just how hard he worked every single day. I don't think I have ever seen him mad. He's just super happy to just be able to serve. To, you know, you can see, you can really see the Lord when you see him. You know, and they are there, and their church is growing. They had to take over. Kind of a divided church. Something happened with the prior pastor, and he was not willing to give up. He showed up and used to serve, and the Lord showed him that he was a pastor, and he is about to get ordained, but he's been called pastor for the past couple of years now because the sheep will call him pastor, and they will see him as a pastor. Mm-hmm. And he's been pastoring this church for the past few years, and same thing with Yaret, just such a lovely, godly woman that is leading this church. And he's now in his mid-20s, but he was in his early 20s, discipleship, 60, 70-year-olds. You know, it was just super funny to walk into his discipleship class, and he's just like the kid in the middle, just teaching all of these people. But yeah, so keep them in prayer. And Johnny mentioned it earlier, how important it is to come to these PA nights. I feel like our transition into the States has been so much easier because of these Wednesday services, that people will just invite us to go eat, invite us to go to Veritas, invite us to do this, and that. But just like, oh, wow, like you actually care. We'll go to home groups, and we'll see our pictures on people's fridges. I'm only, oh, wow, like, you're praying for me? And they're like, yeah, this day and this day and that day of the month, I'm praying for you guys. And it was just coming back here, it just felt like going from one home to another home. Of course, there's been a transition period, but you guys have made it so much easier. And I think just hanging out with Johnny and D'Angelo and Alec have made it so much easier. That's them doing some flooring in Tijuana. But also the mission strips, just going down to where the missionaries are serving and just really connecting with them, not just, not just showing up, but also taking action into going. And I feel like we're pretty much friends with everyone in this photo. When they really didn't have to go, but they felt that the Lord was calling them to do so, and they were obedient to it. Anything you want to see?
Just, that's a really good photo. Okay, so kind of in closing a little bit. So it wasn't just us at the training center. It was a whole team of people. So these are the people that we served with. There's the people that took care of the Niños del Rey program. There was someone that took care of, you know what? I'm going to name them. You write them down, okay? Okay, so Chris and Yesenia, all the way to the left, they are from East LA. And they literally almost everything the same that we do. Chris took care of all the maintenance. If something broke, hey, Chris, come fix this. And his wife, Yesenia, she helped do all of the events. And they have 5 kids, so she was also homeschooling. She was taking care of her bunch of kids. And so there's that too. Behind them is Kiki. He's at Bible College right now. He was just an assistant for literally everything. In front of him is Deanna, and next to her is Conris. Behind her is Raul. They're a family, mom, dad, daughter, and they're literally the backbone of the whole training center. She has literally been there since the beginning. She takes care of the Niños del Rey program, and then her daughter came alongside to help. And the Niños del Rey program is Kids of the King. So that was literally, or is still, her heart. They still continue that today, which is a blessing. Raul, same thing, maintenance dude. He'd be out there with what's it called? Oh, the word. The leaf blower at 6 a.m. to wake everyone up. And then next to Conris is Paola. She's from Veracruz. She's one of our best friends. She helped with the Niños del Rey program and just, again, an assistant to everything. Behind her is Meche. She was the cook, and she did all of the cleaning. So all the beds you sleep on, she made all of those. Next to her is Leo and Yadith. And then behind me is Lila and Jeff. Jeff is was the director of the training center. And his wife, again, helped with events, helped with everything.
In accounting.
Oh, and she was kind of if I needed help in accounting, she was always there. Yeah, and organizing Niños del Rey. And then there's me and Caesar.
Now, we talk about the training center being closed, but more than being closed, the facility is closed. If you go there, they're not going to open, they're not going to host you. We're not there. But it was moved. So the internship, more than anything, we had 4 ministries again. The kids ministry, the internship, the church planting program, and hosting teams. Now, there is multiple team hosting ministries in Tijuana. So that ministry is already taken care of for the local ministries. The kids ministry is still there in Tijuana. And the internship, there is, again, more programs in Tijuana. But the church planting school, that was our key program. And the whole summer was just busy equipping church planters. This last generation, Las Vegas, started doing more international students. We had a couple from Chile, which they are about to launch their church in Santiago, Awaken Natal, which has already been launched, and a couple that is eventually going to plant in Guadalajara, Mexico. But they will have to, Vegas will have to fly to San Diego and then drive almost an hour to make it to a training center, and the other students will have to fly to Mexico City and then fly to Tijuana. I don't have to pick them up because it was like an hour away. But it was moved to Mexico City, which is right there. So it's still there. It's still a ministry. It's still a thing going on. And the vision just changed or just focus more on church planting. And give it its 100%. And we are already seeing fruit. Again, these churches are not a small thing. It's a huge thing. And I wish we had enough time to share about them and they're really good friends. So we are still with them. But it wasn't shut down. It was more canalized. And what are we doing now? So we are working at the church. You have not seen me around with my camera. I'm the digital media coordinator here at Calvary Chapel St. George, and Melody is
the financial clerk.
So we are still here. We're still serving. We still have a heart to serve. I'll have to serve you guys and a heart to serve the lost. So, yeah, our heart's still the same to serve God and to make His name glorified. Now our ministry looks a little different, but we still want to serve the Lord, want to reach the lost, and want to serve you guys. So we are here if you see us. If you need something, just talk to her. But so we're off the field. If you look for a name, you're not going to be able to support us. Who can you support now?
So the first person, get your notebooks. I already said her name, Paola. She is going this month. She's going to be moving to Mexico City to come alongside Pastor Jeff and Lila to help with the church planning program. But also with that, she is being prepared or just waiting on the Lord. She has a desire to go to the 1040 window. She's started taking Mandarin classes and all this stuff. So the Lord has big plans for her, and we can see that, and we can see that in her. So if you could just come alongside us and just continue to be praying for her. If you ever want updates about her, you can just ask us, and we'll let you know. But yeah, so her name is Paola.
And recently, how will you say it, included they've have been added to our missionary list where the church is now supporting this ministry, which is Pastor Jorge at Calvary Chapel Santa Fe. He has been part of Just Go since the very beginning, since we started doing it in Mexico, and is going to continue at Calvary Chapel Santa Fe. They eventually are going to be coming up here, I hope. But Pastor Jorge is still there, so you can continue to pray for him, his family. He has, of course, his wife and his two sons. And Pastor Jeff, the director of the training center in Tijuana, he's now, how Melody said, moving to Mexico City to continue assisting with the church planting program. Him and his wife Lilia and their daughter Cassandra, they're doing a whole move. Tijuana and Mexico City are very, very different places, and they're going through they're about to enter a really hard transition as well. But they're still going to be part of Awaken or Calvary Chapel, but with a different name. But yeah, so keep them in prayer. These three families, these three ministries, they're still out there, and you can still continue to pray for them. And questions. And we're gonna have a quick
fast
1 minute. We have 1 minute, so talk fast.
And so,
hey guys, so you both went, if I heard right, you both went single to the mission field and then got married, and I was wondering if you could speak to both sides of that really fast. Those of the people that are sitting in here who are single that might be feeling called to the mission field but also feel like a desire to be married, and then also maybe couples in the dynamic of serving as a couple on the field.
I'll say first, talk to your pastor. Whatever advice you get from missionaries, go talk to your pastor. But I'll say, I think the mission field, you need a calling to go out to the mission field. But also you need a calling to marriage, to a person, because you need a calling. When things get rough, you're just not going to go by feelings in marriage or in the mission field. You're going to be grounded in the calling that you have from the Lord. So I'll say pray really hard about both. And now, in my opinion, Cesar, no pastor, no church, me, I think that if the Lord is calling, you have to go. If the Lord is calling you as a single person, go. If the Lord is calling you guys as a couple, he's going to call both of you with the same heart and the same vision to go. So I'll say both. Go. If the Lord is calling, go.
And just like here, like there's stuff a single person can go and minister. Like they can get a call, be like, oh yeah, I'll be right there. I don't have to worry about anything. Like I'm there. They can do, you know, y'all know, just like same as here. It's, and then when you're married, like it opens a whole nother like branch of ministry, being able to minister to other couples, being able to just be like a united front with whatever's going on. And so honestly, the Lord uses both. Like he uses everything.
One more question.
Are you? Do you have any idea of where the Ukrainians that you ministered to went? Are you in contact, or are any of the Calvaries in contact with any of them?
Yes, Calvary Chapel San Diego was the first point of contact into the States, and after that, they will go to, most of them, they already had a place to go to. They were not coming here and not knowing or not having a place to stay or stuff like that. Most of them were coming because they already had either organizations or family members that were welcoming them. Super, super cool was that, I want to say 80% of them were Christians, and Christian organizations came down to help most of, and it was Ukrainians organizing all of these in the Mexico side. A lot of them were in California, and a lot of them were in somewhere in the East Coast. But yeah, everyone had a place to go.
All right, maybe just these two more here, Chris.
I had a question about the center moving down to Mexico City. Who's behind them? Is it Calvary Chapel Association? Is it Las Vegas? I can't get it straight in my mind what the picture is. I know the picture changed, but are they starting up from a dead cold start, or they just picked up Tijuana?
Yeah, no, very, very good question. It is a ministry of Awaken Las Vegas that is part of the Calvary Chapel movement. And the reason why is to Mexico City, the move is because they had already planted a solid church in Mexico City. So now instead of teaching church planting in a mission space, now a planted church with experience is being able to disciple them and give them more of a hands-on experience in ministry preparation. Awaken. That's Calvary Chapel Las Vegas. With Pastor Derek.
Yeah.
They use, change the name, but it's still, it's all the same.
All right. Last question here.
Thanks. Can you tell us what the Christmas trip is going to look like this year? Are we going to do the Christmas trip, and what's it going to look like?
Mark said no. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, everything's going to be the same now. Mark Wild will be leading it and organizing it with the people down in Tijuana. But as far as I know, everything is the same. We still, the ministry is still going in Santa Fe.
All right. All right, well, give it up for them. Okay, before you leave, I'll pray for them before, and then we'll break off into the prayer group. So if you guys would pray with them. Father, I want to thank you so much for Caesar and Melody. Lord, we thank you for what you've brought them through and what you're bringing them to. And Lord, we thank you for the friends that you brought alongside them, Lord, for the family that have lifted them up and for the prayers that we've seen answered through their lives. And God, we thank you for the base, Lord, and all the effort that went into that, the lives that were changed, eternities that were changed as well, Lord, through just obedient servants. Lord, we thank you for what you've brought them through and their past season. And Lord, we pray for this new season as they take this step of faith here, as they serve your body continually, faithfully here, and they get to be a part of this body that has supported them for so long. Lord, help us to come alongside them through more than just prayer support, Lord, but that we would care for them as taking them out to the meal, to a meal, or just letting them know that we're here for them, Lord, anything they need. So we thank you for bringing them here, and we just pray that you would bless them and whatever this next step of life looks like, Lord. So we thank you for tonight, and we praise you for in Jesus' name. Amen.